Good afternoon and welcome to Moneywebbit Midday with myself, Nastasia Arendt. It's just gone 12 o'clock on the dot. Coming up on the show, we're going to be playing an interview that I did with Billy Nesham, who is the CEO of ARB Holdings. They published their interim numbers today. And then later on, we'll talk to Chris Gilmore, who's an independent analyst, to talk to us about how the market is performing thus far and what we can expect going forward. All of this is coming up.
Moneyweb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors through our Click and Advisor offering. Advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. Get everything you need to know by joining our free webinar on February the 27th at 11 a.m. Go to www.moneyweb.co.za to secure your spot.
In a tough and rather extremely challenging environment, ARB Holdings delivered their interim numbers today with revenue up 5% and headline earnings per share up 34%. This is the conversation that I had with CEO Billy Nesham.
Been a very difficult trading environment all round, and I think we've actually done satisfactory in the circumstances. I think consumer confidence and business confidence impacts both the divisions, and the lack of infrastructure spend certainly impacts the electrical division.
In terms of the key figures, your revenue is up 5%, operating profit up 3%. How did you manage to get this right in the environment that you've just described?
I think it's really taking advantage of the limited opportunities that are out in the marketplace at the moment. We do believe that we have a small market share, and we do believe that there's opportunities to expand on that market share over time and take advantage when as and when they come around.
In terms of the environment that you described a little earlier on, when, from your perspective and in the business that you operate, did things start changing? Were you starting to see a bit of a dip and sentiment is starting to change? And are you confident that perhaps in the latter part of the year, things might pick up?
We certainly don't see too much changing in the sort of short to medium term. We just got to try and continue with our strategy of focusing on the things we can manage.
In that strategy, how do you intend on taking the electrical division and the lighting division forward? Is there anything that we can be looking out for?
The electrical division is certainly expanding its geographic footprint. It is underrepresented in the Gauteng. We did indicate in year-end results and elaborated here that we have bought some premises or some vacant plot in Midrand to expand our distribution facilities so that we can have the capacity to open new branches in that area. The lighting division certainly has an opportunity of continuing to expand its product range. We did indicate that there are certain costs that they have incurred in the last 6 months that haven't generated any real revenue, and we see some opportunities of generating revenue in the coming months.
In your SENS statement, you say, and I quote here, whilst no other corporate activity has taken place during the period, the group continues to evaluate acquisition opportunities. What kind of opportunities would attract you and your team that you would want to take advantage of? What would you be looking for?
Mainly trading and distribution businesses and more sort of an industrial product. We do have the skills or the core competency in terms of trading and distribution. Both the electrical division and the lighting division is very much a distribution business. They have the distribution footprint, and we believe that we could expand on that network with either products, adding products to that base, or by adding similar type businesses that could complement one another.
And prospects for the next 6 months, what will you and your team be focusing on?
We're certainly focusing on making sure that the businesses continue in the same level that they have in the difficult environment that they continue to trade in, and to make sure that the expenditure that we have invested in terms of opportunities start coming to fruition.
That's Billy Nesham, who is the CEO of ARB Holdings. It's just gone, I'd say, 5 minutes after 12. And joining me in studio is Chris Gilmore, who's an independent analyst. Chris, thank you so much for your time.
Only a pleasure to be here, Nastasia.
So how are the markets doing thus far?
Well, we're up nicely this morning. I think, what, about 3% the last time I saw. And look, I think it's in line with what's happening in global markets. We saw the Dow last night going quite nicely. We saw Asian markets opening nicer this morning. Look, I think there's a kind of bounce, a rebound from the huge drop that we had last week. If you look at what happened last week, You know, it probably wasn't warranted. I think it was a kind of algorithmically induced drop in the markets. And you've still got this very, very positive global synchronized economic growth taking place. And so I, for one, wasn't surprised that we got back on track. But locally, I think it's interesting. You know, we're obviously participating in that. Having said that, we're still quite a long way off our all-time highs because we took a bit of a drop of the past couple of weeks as well. But I do think that we're now going to get a lot more confidence coming back into the local economy. And I think that will exhibit itself in improved local performance over and above what we're seeing in terms of the global side of things.
Okay. We'll get to the global picture in a bit. On SENS this morning, there were quite some trading updates. Discovery being one, City Lodge publishing their numbers, their interims, actually. There was Rolf's trading update, South 32, an trading update from Aspen Pharmacare. Which one of those did you get a chance to look at?
I had a look at City Lodge this morning, and that was profoundly disappointing. Look, I think they're doing very well in places like Kenya and Mozambique, and that's, you know, where they're going to be seeing the big growth opportunities in the future. But occupancy levels down from 66% to 63%. Now, that's not where they need to be. They need to be far better than that. Admittedly, they're putting in lots more new capacity. This is a class operation. It's a really quality operation. The statement itself is a little bit unclear as to why you've had this big drop in occupancies. I mean, it's not as if you've had a huge wave of new building coming through outside of City Lodge in the past few years. There's been a bit here at the margin. But nevertheless, look, earnings down 12%. This is not really a good result, and it's not what we were expecting from City Lodge. So unfortunately, I think the share price is going to languish for a while in the wake of this.
And the market that they operate in, has it been challenging for others, or perhaps could this thing just be a City Lodge issue?
No, it has been challenging for others in the sense that they tend to be in that predominantly in what I call the corporate space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have your corporate travellers who are looking for value all the time, or should I say their handlers, the guys at the bean counters are looking for value all the time. And City Lodge and the likes of Sogo Sun's offerings at the lower end of the market, they do offer value. But it is tough out there, and companies have been cutting back, I think, undoubtedly. So that's perhaps why you've been getting some of this pullback here. But I was certainly under the impression that they were starting to get a bit more in the way of government business because, as you probably are aware, the government has been giving a stipend in recent times, a fixed amount of money, basically. And you have to take out of that, you have to take your overnight accommodation, you have to take dinner, parking, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So there's very little room to maneuver as far as that's concerned. And I would have thought that in the overall scheme of things would have been good for City Lodge.
Okay. So let's look at the global picture. The CPI numbers in the US came out yesterday. And what did you think of those?
A bit higher than what people were looking for. And again, I think there is the realization creeping in that inflation at long last is starting to take off. You know, for so long, we've been under the impression that technology is going to keep prices under control. And in fact, if anything, result in disinflation being around for a while. Now it seems as if we are getting inflation coming through and on a sustainable basis. Excuse me. And, you know, that probably means that we are going to get the 3 or 4 interest rate hikes this year that most people are looking for. And, you know, on the one hand, that can be seen as being a negative. But on the other hand, and I think this is the most important part, is that a rising interest rate environment does reflect improvements in the economy. And the economy is able to handle that and is able to absorb it. If you look at unemployment in the US, it's down to residual levels, down below 4%. What we're seeing now in pure economic terms is a reversion to what's called the Phillips curve. And in very simple terms, what it means is that as unemployment comes further and further down, inflation starts creeping up again. And that's what happens normally. And for quite a while now, at least the past 2 or 3 years, that had been out of sync, out of kilter. Now we're coming back to a more normalized situation. And I think that's good.
The big question everyone was asking, I think this was most of last week, even probably a little bit in the beginning of this week, was, is volatility here to stay? Or is this one of those things where it's things will get better. It's just one of those technique, because they couldn't figure out what it was, and everyone was waiting for yesterday's CPR number.
Yeah, I went to a presentation the other day there where somebody actually highlighted the point that investors have become complacent. Mm-hmm. And I think this very low volatility that we've seen is a reflection of that complacency. So in other words, people think, well, you know, if we have a bit of a correction, so what? It'll come back and we just keep on going upwards. But the huge degree of volatility that we saw last week and the week before, I think, has shaken some people out of that complacency. So to answer your question, I think we should expect volatility to increase a bit from current levels. But depending on what happens on the in global markets and global economies, I don't think we're going to go back to the kind of levels we saw a couple of weeks ago. But I think it will stay maybe a little bit higher than we've been used to in the past year or two.
I heard a very interesting comment on Bloomberg where someone was saying, if volatility is here to stay, we shouldn't expect central banks to act as circuit breakers for the markets as they've done so in the past. They're going to continue with their plan.
Yes, absolutely. And there's this gradual withdrawal of accommodation throughout the world. We're now waiting to see what the ECB is going to be doing. And again, I think, you know, we will start seeing a gradual reduction there. The UK will probably start increasing rates by about August this year. Mm. So all around the world, we are going to see central banks being less accommodative and getting back. We talked about more normal levels of volatility. We're going to see more normal levels of inflation, and we're going to see more normal levels of interest rates, I think.
Okay. It is Thursday. We're about to end off the week. Is there any key particular piece of news that you're looking out for that will, I suppose, set what the theme is for this week?
Wow. You know, I think with the momentous events of the past few days, that's a tough one. Look, I think Cyril Ramaphosa in his first few days is going to be tested to the extreme. Mm. So I think over the next, as we approach the end of this week and into next week, his actions are going to be pivotal, I think, in determining the direction of the economy and thus what happens to a certain extent on the local market. As far as the global market's concerned, I think pretty much more of the same. I think there is continued optimism that global growth is going to probably come in at about 4% for this year, maybe a little bit higher. And I think hopefully if we can hitch our wagon to that, that will help South Africa to overcome a lot of the impediments we've had in the past 9 years and gradually pull ourselves out of the slough of despondency.
Just to go back to last night's speech by former President Jacob Zuma, were you scared a little bit thinking actually he might not say what we all expect him to say? Like I started having some kind of doubt, especially when he was talking about perks and benefits and why he's not doing it for the perks and benefits. And then he switched to Zulu and I got completely confused. And then I just, you know, you could actually even see the rand, the US dollar rand going slightly backwards because it was now saying, oh, okay, we don't think this might happen. And then he actually did it.
Yes. As we were saying offline, I mean, Al Jazeera was interesting. I was flicking between the channels and they were of the opinion halfway through that he wasn't going to resign. But, you know, I think, and I tweeted, I said, look, he has to resign because if he doesn't, the consequences for him would really be ghastly. He would have been expelled from the ANC. He would have been treated like an absolute pariah, and his life would have been an absolute misery. Mm. So I think, you know, he understands self-preservation very, very keenly. So like you, I was getting a bit concerned halfway through, but I did honestly believe that he was going to resign, even though he kept us waiting, and as is his wont. Mm-hmm. So, look, he did ask a very, very interesting question, not just in that interview, but he stated he didn't quite understand, but he also mentioned it in the SABC interview, and that was that the ANC have not given him a reason. And you know, that's fair comment. There's this kind of selective morality that the ANC has been indulging in. We all know why he's going, and we've had 9 years of utter misery under Zuma. So but I think the ANC needs to now actually say that with conviction as to why they did what they did. I think we're all very glad they did what they did,
yeah.
But it would be nice to see this getting rid of the selective morality.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for your time. That's Chris Gilmore, an independent analyst. Tuning later tonight for the SAFM Market Update, where we'll just give you a wrap-up.